I just want to see the bridge. It's almost like watching a mountain disappear. I spent a lot of afternoons kayaking underneath it. It's kind of a local landmark. The fact that it's gone is more than shocking.
It's tragic. You know, we're all kind of at a loss as, you know, what we can do, what can be done. Are they going to fix the bridge? I hope they're going to fix the bridge. What kind of safety upgrades? What kind of precautions?
Aside from the loss of life, aside from the traffic, it's basically shut down the port until they clear the channel. It's going to cause a lot of damage to a lot of people's livelihoods for quite a while.
The people of Baltimore are in shock that a major landmark is now gone after yesterday's tragic collapse of the Francis Scott Key Bridge when it was hit by a cargo ship that had lost control. We have the latest from this horrific story. Welcome into today's edition of Just the Truth. Glad to have you join me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio. To lose weight for the last time, visit myphdweightloss.com. President Trump is hit with another gag order. This time, the New York judge overseeing the hush money trial imposed a gag order preventing him from publicly attacking witnesses, jurors, and others during what is slated to be the first ever criminal trial of a former president. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has chosen a tech-savvy attorney and entrepreneur Nicole Shanahan to join his independent presidential campaign as his vice presidential running mate. And the U.S. Supreme Court signaled yesterday it would likely retain widespread access to one of the two common drugs used in medication abortion in a case that could have nationwide implications for reproductive rights and the authority of federal agencies. The story just won't go away. May have ended with NBC News officially terminating its short-lived relationship with former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel, according to a memo sent to staff by the network's boss. Hope you'll join the conversation today. 864-477-JOEY. That's 864-477-5639. Send your text to the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a voice message, and your emails are always welcome. Joey@joeyhudson.com.
I told you we'd be back.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
It's Joey Hudson.
I wanted to name it the Joey Hudson Bill, but, you know, they don't allow you to put names on bills, but I wanted to call it the Joey Hudson Bill because I know that one's been near and dear to you for a number of years.
That's how it's done. Let your voice be heard.
And the truth shall set you free.
Here's Joey Hudson.
President Joe Biden spoke yesterday within hours of the tragedy that struck Baltimore when a cargo ship rammed into Baltimore's Francis Scott Key Bridge early yesterday morning, causing it to be completely destroyed.
Speak briefly about the terrible incident and accident that happened in Baltimore this morning. At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times commuting from the state of Delaware in our trainer by car. Been in Baltimore Harbor many times. And the bridge collapsed, sending several people and vehicles into the water, into the river. And multiple U.S. Coast Guard units, which are stationed very nearby, thank God, were immediately deployed along with local emergency personnel. And the Coast Guard is leading the response at the port, where representatives from the Federal Highway Administration, the FBI, the Department of Transportation, the Army Corps of Engineers, as well as Maryland officials and Baltimore Police and Fire, are all working together to coordinate an emergency response. Officials at the scene estimate 8 people were unaccounted for still. Not still, were unaccounted for. That number might change. 2 have been rescued, 1 without injury, 1 in critical condition. And the search and rescue operation is continuing for all those remaining as we speak. I spoke with Governor Moore this morning, as well as the mayor of Baltimore, the county executive, to both United States senators and the congressman. And my secretary of transportation is on the scene. I told them we're going to send all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency. I mean, all the federal resources. And we're going to rebuild that port together. Everything so far indicates that this was a terrible accident. At this time, we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here.
Now, there's some questions about Biden's story that we'll get into a bit later. Operators of the Dali cargo ship had issued a Mayday call that the vessel had lost power moments before the crash, but the ship still headed toward the span at a very, very rapid speed, Maryland Governor Wes Moore said. The 985-foot-long vessel struck one of the 1.6-mile-long bridge's supports, causing the span to break and fall into the water within seconds. It's just amazing. If you've seen any of the video of this happening, and there's a lot of it out there. I posted a couple on my Facebook page, my YouTube channel as well, just to go to either to search for Joey Hudson if you haven't seen it. But it's quite amazing that this happened so quickly, that when this ship hit this major support of this bridge. An emergency responder could be heard on the dispatch audio mentioning that construction workers had been operating on the bridge during the collapse, and an unknown amount of those workers were in the water. That prompted a call for a dive team to come to the scene. Later in the call, another dispatcher says the main portion of the bridge had collapsed into the water, causing vehicles to plummet and submerge in the water. Dispatchers also mentioned that police have begun stopping vehicles from entering the bridge. Another dispatcher described it as a mass casualty incident. Can you make notifications to all the local hospitals? The dispatcher said. Two people were later reported as having been rescued. Six construction workers who are said to have been repairing potholes on the bridge were still missing last night and presumed dead. Jeffrey Pritzker, Executive Vice President of Browner Builder, said they were working in the middle of the span when it came apart. The U.S. Coast Guard and Maryland State Police announced that they were suspending the search for the six construction workers last night. During a press conference, they said they do not believe the construction workers would be found alive, adding they were suspending the search last night at 7:30. It will begin again, or was supposed to have begun again today, Wednesday at 6 a.m. The cold water temps, low visibility, and impending weather conditions all were factored into the decision to stop the search, according to Maryland State Police Colonel Roland Butler. He told reporters, "We're doing our very best." He's explained that the last thing he and others want to do is to put divers in the water where so much metal and debris from the collapsed bridge now rest. Butler said that it takes just one object striking one of the divers and creating additional search efforts. He was asked by reporters about the possibility of vehicles, which has been unclear as to whether or not there are vehicles. Again, state police had stopped vehicles from entering the bridge. But some of the dispatch that was heard earlier indicated there were cars on the bridge. Some of the video that that has been published, you can see cars on the bridge. So that's really sort of a wait and see. The Maryland Department of Transportation, again, was able to cut down some of the traffic, Butler said. He said it is possible that some cars could have been on the bridge. The ship owned by Singapore-based Grace Owen Ocean Private Limited had been moving at 8 knots, which is roughly about 9 miles per hour. All crew members, including the two pilots, have been accounted for, and there were no reports of injuries on the vessel itself. An inspection of the Dally last June at a port in Chile identified a problem with the ship's propulsion and auxiliary machinery, according to Equasis, a shipping information system. This deficiency involved gauges and thermometers, but the website's online records did not elaborate on this. The most recent inspection was conducted by U.S. Coast Guard in New York back in September. The standard examination did not identify any deficiencies according to the Equasis data. Federal inspectors rated the 47-year-old bridge in fair condition, but the structure did not appear to have pier protection to withstand a crash like it had yesterday. Thankfully, the ship had managed to send out a warning, again, which, according to reports, probably saved lives as it enabled authorities to limit the vehicle traffic pretty quickly. The accident occurred at 1:30 a.m. yesterday morning, meaning it was well before the busy morning rush. So what could have happened? Former Merchant Marine Captain Claus Lufta, who has guided ships in and out of Baltimore's port several times, talked with Stuart Varner on Fox Business yesterday, said it appears there was a propulsion failure that may have led to this tragedy.
When you see the video, Stu, initially it looks like that might be the case. When the ship is leaving the port of Baltimore in particular, I've sailed on these ships all around the world and have been through the port of Baltimore a number of times. And you're accelerating the vessel as you leave the port so that you can maneuver under that bridge and through the channels effectively. So it's likely as that increase in speed was occurring. There was a propulsion failure. It appears that way from the video. And once that happens, it's really difficult to recover from that. When you look at these incidents, typically you'll look at human error, you'll look at mechanical error, and possibly some sort of security concern. At initial glance, it looks here like it is a mechanical error.
Now, to get out of the Baltimore Harbor, the ship has to have a pilot on board. I guess if they lost power, pilot or no pilot, makes no difference. The pilot couldn't help, is that right?
That's right, yes. The ship pilot is aboard, the ship's crew and the captain is aboard, everyone's on the bridge. It's all hands available for these types of maneuvers. And these ship pilots are the highest trained vessel operators in the world, and in the Port of Baltimore in particular. So they're trained to deal with these sort of incidents, but there are some cases where when a ship loses propulsion, you just have no way of controlling it. And this appears to be one of those catastrophes where it was just out of the hands of what anybody could do. It sounds from the reports here on Fox that they were able to preserve some life by not allowing vehicles across the bridge, which is a great achievement.
Yes, it certainly is. Captain, thanks very much for joining us. You live in that area, so I'm sure you're very much aware of the disruption to trade and traffic. But thanks for taking time out to be with us, Captain. We appreciate it, sir. Many thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Either way, it's just a real tragedy. 864-477-JOEY. That's 864-477-5639. Your text are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. You can leave a voice message. Send your emails, joey@joeyhudson.com. The New York judge overseeing former President Donald Trump's hush money trial has imposed a gag order on Trump, preventing him from publicly attacking witnesses, jurors, and others during what is slated to be the first ever criminal trial of a former president. We have the details of that. First, let me talk with you about PhD weight loss and nutrition. If you're wanting to get fit, to get in better shape, to lose some of that extra weight that you're carrying around your waist, maybe fit in your swimsuit a little better for the summer, then you need to call right now, 864-252-4925. Set up your initial consultation with someone at PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition and get started on the program. If you do it now, by early summer, you can be talking about having lost 10, 20, 30 pounds or more. I always mention the 30 pounds that I lost when I started my journey with Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team at PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition almost 4 years ago, because that's how we measure the success of a new nutrition program. And that's what this is. It's not a diet. It's not a fad diet. It's they talk with you and they teach you all about the science of nutrition. That's how Dr. Ashley Lucas, that's how she founded this program, based on the science of nutrition. They talk with you about what to eat, when to eat, and how to eat. And their maintenance program is like nothing you've ever participated in. You can lose the weight, but better yet, you can maintain that weight as well. 864-252-4925 is how you get started getting healthier today. Find them online as well at myphdweightloss.com. PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition, the official partner of the Clemson Tigers. Judge Juan Merchant's order still enables President Trump to publicly attack the judge and Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg, but not others like witnesses and jurors. It prevents the former president from making public statements about people involved in this, the court staff, their family members, if those statements are made with the intent to materially interfere with the case, according to the judge's order. Merchant wrote in his 4-page ruling, "The uncontested record reflecting the defendant's prior extrajudicial statements establishes a sufficient risk to the administration of justice." Tuesday's gag order was issued just weeks before President Trump's trial is scheduled to begin on April the 15th. Last spring, when Trump was originally charged, a judge last year said he was not ready to gag Trump's speech, but Merchant agreed to do so after receiving a request last month from Bragg's office that cited Trump's public comments attacking those involved in his legal proceedings. Former president has derided Merchant as a Trump-hating judge with a family full of Trump haters, an insult he also charged the judge overseeing his fraud case and the New York Attorney General who brought it. He called the judge overseeing his federal election interference case highly partisan and the special counsel prosecuting it deranged. He also deemed the Fulton County District Attorney prosecuting his case in Georgia as corrupt. We know that to be true now, don't we? Trump also aimed his ire at the judge's family members, including the fraud trial's judge's wife and son and Merchant's daughter. The fraud trial gag order did not preclude attacks on that judge's family, and it appears the hush money trial gag order does not block insults to Merchant's family either. Now, this begs the question, and you know I love President Donald Trump. I'll be supporting him in November. I think that he can do a lot of good for our country as he did the 4 years he was in office. But does Trump really need to be saying some of these things about the judges and about some of these court officials? Is he gaining anything? Why not just let your attorney do the talking in court? Am I missing something here? Am I off base to suggest this? I'm really not sure. I don't understand why he has to publicly condemn this judge and his family. Maybe I'm missing something. You can send me a quick note on the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-5639. Trump's lawyers, meanwhile, have argued that the gag order would be a violation of Trump's First Amendment rights, saying he has a right to defend himself as the presumptive Republican presidential nominee. And I get that. He does have a right to defend himself. But again, maybe just do it in court. Merchant wrote in the ruling, "Yet these extrajudicial statements went far beyond defending himself against attacks by public figures. Indeed, his statements were threatening, inflammatory, denigrating, and the targets of his statements ranged from local and federal officials, court and court staff, prosecutors and staff assigned to the cases, and private individuals, including grand jurors, performing their civic duty." The judge continued, "The consequences of those statements included not only fear on the part of the individual targeted, but also the assignment of increased security resources to investigate threats and to protect individuals and family members thereof." A spokesman for the Trump campaign, Stephen Chung, said in a statement that the judge's gag order prevents a presidential candidate from engaging in core political speech, and that's the defense that they're taking to allow Trump to continue to make these comments about the case. Chung said, "Worst of all, the gag order violates the civil rights of over 100 million Americans who follow President Trump and have a First Amendment right to receive and listen to his speech. American voters have a fundamental right to hear the uncensored voice of the leading candidate for the highest office in the land. President Trump will keep fighting for our country and our Constitution." And I want him to. I want him to fight for our country. I want him to fight for our constitutional rights. Again, I beg the question, does he need to make comments like this about court officials to the point that he gets a gag order against him? Just asking the question for a friend. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-JOEY. Merchant's gag order is the third Trump has faced in recent months, following orders limiting his speech issued in the New York civil fraud case and his Washington, D.C. federal criminal case linked to efforts to subvert the 2020 election results. Judge Arthur Engoron, the fraud case trial judge, imposed a gag order on Trump after the former president falsely, according to the reports, derided the judge's principal law clerk as Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's girlfriend. Trump sued Engoron over the order, but upper courts affirmed his ruling before the state's highest court declined to review it any further. Trump racked up about $15,000 in fines for violating the order twice. In the federal election interference case, U.S. Judge Tanya Chutkan barred Trump from making statements targeting foreseeable witnesses, court staff, or prosecutors. Trump appealed that order too, but a federal appeals court sided with the trial judge. We shall see. 864-477-5639 is how you can comment on the Furman Ford text line. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has chosen a tech attorney and entrepreneur, Nicole Shanahan, to join his independent presidential campaign as his vice presidential running mate. Kennedy made the announcement at an event in Oakland, California yesterday, where he outlined how the 2024 ticket will differ from those of President Biden and former President Donald Trump. He said at the event that Shanahan is a daughter of immigrants who, quote, overcame every daunting obstacle and went on to achieve the highest levels of the American dream. That is why I'm so proud to introduce to you the next Vice President of the United States, he said. My fellow lawyer, a brilliant scientist, technologist, a fierce warrior mom, Nicole Shanahan. Kennedy's choice of Shanahan adds an element of age and gender, I guess you could say, diversity potentially to the ticket. She's 38 years old. He's 70. A female running mate also probably helps offset the ticket in an election where Democrats, Republicans, independent front runners, all are, at this point, older white men. I'm sure that's why he chose a young white woman. She's the founder and president of BioEcho Foundation, who brings a proven funding stream to the Kennedy campaign. The former spouse of Google co-founder Sergey Brin, Shanahan financed most of Kennedy's February Super Bowl ad that captured millions of viewers. You remember it? She also founded an analytics company, Clear Access IP, after she finished law school. Kennedy said he wanted a running mate who shared his indignation for how big tech companies partner in the censorship and the surveillance and the information warfare that our government is currently waging against the American people, adding that technology has been one of Shanahan's lifelong passions. He went on to say, "That's why I'm bringing on someone with a deep inside knowledge of how big tech uses artificial intelligence to manipulate the public." Mediaite first reported that Kennedy had chosen Shanahan to round out the ticket. Her closeness to Silicon Valley means a greater access to deep-pocketed sources for Kennedy's White House effort. She's already raised a lot of money for Kennedy. He claims that, of course, that's not why he chose her. Kennedy's campaign had to announce a number two sooner in the cycle than is typical due to the nature of some of the laws and regulations in states where he's trying to get on the ballot. He needs a declared running mate in nearly half of those states, and having set vice presidential choices, which makes him eligible to collect signatures that count towards his viability as a candidate in the fall. Kennedy again denied Shanahan's resources were his main motivation for choosing her during an interview with News Nation, the Hill's sister company, instead of pointing to a generational divide he's hoping to bridge through his choice. He said, "I wanted someone who is battle-tested, able to withstand criticism and the controversy and all the defamations and slanders and perjuries that are thrown against anyone who embarks on a presidential campaign." We shall see. We shall see. 864-477-5639. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. What do you think about this young lady that RFK has chosen for his running mate? So far, he has made it on the New Hampshire, Utah, and Hawaii ballots. His super PAC has noted that they have independently collected signatures for him in some important battleground states like Michigan and Georgia, but he has yet to be approved for those states. You got to get on the ballot first, or you don't have a chance. Is Kennedy going to be the Ross Perot of 2024? We'll see. The U.S. Supreme Court signaled yesterday that it would likely retain widespread access to one of the two common drugs in medication, abortion. This is a case that could have nationwide implications for reproductive rights and the authority of federal agencies. Before I get into that, let me talk with you about Furman Ford. Portions of today's show made possible by Furman Ford. Are you looking for a new vehicle? Maybe you want a good pre-owned vehicle that you can trust. Head over to Lauren's and check with my friends Matthew and Jim Furman at Furman Ford. You can find them online at FurmanFord.com. You can see all their inventory. I was there a few weeks ago, and boy, do they have a great inventory. Probably the most vehicles I've seen on the Furman Ford lot in a while. But you're also supporting a local business, and that's what I love about Furman Ford. They're family-owned, locally operated. Their name is on the sign because they realize their name is on the line with every single transaction they complete. I love doing business with local businesses. When you purchase your vehicle, whether it's a new vehicle or a great pre-owned vehicle, when you drive off the lot, you'll realize that you're leaving money in our community by doing business with a locally owned business. FurmanFord.com, FurmanFord.com. So during oral arguments in front of the Supreme Court, a majority of the justices from across the ideological spectrum appeared to be leaning in the direction of a side that we probably are not going to be happy with. They seem to be a bit skeptical that a group of anti-abortion doctors and organizations had the right to sue the Food and Drug Administration over changes the agency made to make it easier to access the abortion-inducing drug known as mifepristone. During oral arguments, and particularly the conservative justices appointed by President Trump, questioned whether any of the doctors in the lawsuit could show that they had personally been harmed by the government's actions to regulate mifepristone. Justice Neil Gorsuch, one of the three conservatives appointed by Trump, also joined with the liberal justices to question the broad relief the groups were seeking, rolling back all the changes that the FDA had made since 2016. Gorsuch said, "We've had a rash of universal injunctions or vacatures, and this case seems like a prime example of turning what could be a small lawsuit into a nationwide legislative assembly on an FDA rule or any other government action. A decision on this is not expected until probably in the summer sometime, June or July, but a ruling in favor of the FDA would be a major boost for the agency's authority to regulate drugs and for reproductive rights groups that have been trying to preserve access to mifepristone. But even if the court upholds broad access to the drug, it will still remain illegal in the more than a dozen states or so that completely ban abortion. The doctor suing asserted they would be violating their morals if they had to treat a woman suffering complications from using the drug. But as Solicitor General Elizabeth Prelogar and some of the justices noted, the doctors have the ability to opt out if a scenario were to occur. By suing the FDA over potential harm, they were asking the Supreme Court to prevent all women across the country from accessing a pill, the argument was made. Justice Elena Kagan at one point asked Aaron Hawley, the attorney representing the Alliance for Hippocratic Medicine, whether any of the doctors involved in the lawsuit could show specific injury from mifepristone. Kagan said, "You need a person. So who's your person?" Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson asked Hawley a very similar question, saying, "I don't want to hypothesize. Can you point me to any place in the declarations where a doctor states that they attempted to object to giving mifepristone, but were unable to," Jackson said. Hawley said she could not. Hawley is married to Senator Josh Hawley, the Republican from Missouri, who was in attendance for the arguments. Over about 90 minutes of arguments, the Biden administration and Danco, the drug company that makes the drug, emphasized the rigorous scientific studies that go into any FDA decision, but much of their argument focused on standing. And looking at the specific respondents in this case and their theories of standing, we don't think they come within 100 miles of the kinds of circumstances this court has previously identified for harm, the argument that the drug company made. The case centered around whether federal regulators overstepped their authority by loosening restrictions to make mifepristone easier to access. Even if the Supreme Court decides in favor of the Biden administration or rules that the anti-abortion groups don't have legal standing to sue, attorneys have previously said litigation would likely continue. This is probably going to be a long, hard-fought battle. 864-477-JOEY, 864-477-5639. Your comments are welcome on the Furman Ford text line. Tony writes, "I hate when they start talking red wave. It gives more fuel to the Democrats to ramp up cheating. Washington, D.C. is already allowing illegals to vote for municipal court judges. New York is going to allow them to vote in the next election due to no ID verification. Stop with red wave talk." And what Tony is referencing here is in yesterday's edition of Just the Truth. And that would have been episode 109. If you missed it, go back and listen. We talked about some of the latest polls might lead you to think that we're looking at a red wave come November. My argument is, I don't know that I want to hear that. When people start talking about the polls looking so good and that we're headed to a red wave, it reminds me of what we thought in 2022, that we thought we're going to pick up huge majorities in both the Senate and the House. We did not. I agree with Tony. I don't stop with the red wave talk. Faye says, Joey, no red wave unless voters get out and vote. My circle of friends who don't like Trump say they won't vote at all. These are educated idiots who can't see 2 inches off the end of their noses. Lord knows I have tried to open their eyes. They won't accept what a Marxist country we can become, even though they're suffering financially. God bless the USA. Thank you, Faye. Jeff writes on the Furman Ford text line, I feel like the things they're going to do to Donald Trump are just stupid. They're trying to bankrupt him. I don't understand how the courts can get away with it. I don't ever want to hear a red wave again. Albert says, the liberal news talk show hosts are scared that their one-sided opinions and false narratives are going to be exposed to their listeners by Rona McDaniel. We got full details on the latest Rona McDaniel story in just a minute. Paul says, Joey, I'm feeling a bit selfish here. I would like President Trump to deal more with solving the nation's problems and less with the lawfare. I'm not changing my vote, just feel that he would be better off with the positive, even if the other side took some of his ideas. This kind of gets back to what I was saying earlier. Thank you for your comment, Paul. Maybe the president doesn't need to be saying the things that led the judges to issue a gag order. Texter says, Joey, I love your podcast. Thank you. I appreciate that. Says, I listen every morning. I ran across this the other day and thought this fits the situation we face today. Together we can overcome anything with God's strength behind us. God bless you, Joey. Keep up the good work. And there was a meme attached to this. The meme said, David didn't know Goliath's strength because he already knew God's. Nothing you're facing today is stronger than God. That's our text of encouragement today. Thank you for that. I appreciate your text. Your texts are welcome as well on the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-5639. It's official now. NBC News terminated its short-lived relationship with former RNC chair Rona McDaniel, according to a memo sent to the staff of the networks by the network's boss yesterday morning, first thing. Portions of today's show brought to you by Discounted Appliance Warehouse. Are you tired of buying appliances from people who know absolutely nothing about appliances? You ask questions, they can't answer them. That's not what you're going to find when you go to Discounted Appliance Warehouse in Pickens. You're going to find a group of people like Jeff and Johnny and Kyle and the whole team over there who have an A+ Better Business Bureau rating. They have nearly perfect reviews on Google. The team over at Discounted Appliance Warehouse, they have the knowledge that you need to have the confidence that you're going to make the right purchase. Appliances are not inexpensive. You need to get this right the first time, right? And that's what you'll get at Discounted Appliance Warehouse. You're going to find the ideal solution in their 11,000 square foot warehouse packed with about 1,500 appliances ready for you to buy today and use today. They have an expert installation team. They have an award-winning service department. Extended warranties, they're going to take care of you well beyond the sale. Find them online at dawpickens.com, dawpickens.com. NBC Universal News Group Chairman Cesar Conde started yesterday with the following note to employees. There's no doubt that the last several days have been difficult for the news group. After listening to the legitimate concerns of many of you, I have decided that Rona McDaniel will not be an NBC News contributor. Conde acknowledged McDaniel's hiring had undermined the goal of a cohesive and aligned newsroom and offered an apology to his staff. He wrote, I want to personally apologize to our team members who felt we let them down. While this was a collective recommendation by some members of our leadership team, I approved it and take full responsibility for it. Our initial decision, he said, was made because of our deep commitment to presenting our audiences with a wide, diverse set of viewpoints and experiences particularly during these consequential times. We continue to be committed to the principle that we must have diverse viewpoints on our programs, and to that end, we will redouble our efforts to seek voices that represent different parts of the political spectrum. I guess just not Republicans, huh? A network insider said there was virtually no way out of the situation but to reverse the decision. They added that while MSNBC figures led the protest, it had the support of a lot of NBC staffers who had thought McDaniel was unacceptable for even a nonpartisan network. Let's stop there for a minute. A nonpartisan network, not MSNBC. Not NBC. A person close to McDaniel was asked to remain, who asked to remain anonymous to speak freely, told Fox News McDaniel found out about the termination through media reports and that as of now she has not heard from NBC. NBC's announcement last Friday of McDaniel's hiring sparked intense backlash from the network's biggest stars. Chuck Todd kicked off the avalanche of on-air attacks towards McDaniel following her NBC debut on Sunday's Meet the Press. Chuck Todd told Meet the Press moderator Kristen Welker that their bosses owed her an apology.
Let me deal with the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
I think our bosses owe you an apology for putting you in this situation because I don't know what to believe. She is now a paid contributor by NBC News. So I have no idea whether any answer she gave to you was because she didn't want to mess up her contract. She wants us to believe that she was speaking for the RNC when the RNC was paying for it. So she has credibility issues that she still has to deal with.
Yeah.
Is she speaking for herself or is she speaking on behalf of who's paying her? What, once at the RNC, she did say that, hey, I'm speaking for the party. I get that. That's part of the job. So what about here? I will say this. I think your interview did a good job of exposing, I think, many of the contradictions. And look, there's a reason why there's a lot of journalists at NBC News uncomfortable with this, because many of our professional dealings with the RNC over the last 6 years have been met with gaslighting, have been met with character assassination. So it is, that's where you begin here. And so when NBC made the decision to give her NBC News's credibility, you got to ask yourself, what does she bring NBC News? And when we make deals like this, and I've been at this company a long time, you're doing it for access. Access to audience. Sometimes it's access to an individual. Mm-hmm. And we can have a journalistic ethics debate about that. And I'm willing to have that debate. And if you told me we were hiring her as a technical advisor to the Republican convention, I think that would be certainly defensible. If you told me we're talking to her, but let's see how she does in some interviews and maybe vet her with actual journalists inside the network, see if it's a two-way, what she can bring the network. So I do think, unfortunately, this interview is always going to be looked through the prism of who is she speaking for, right? I think you did everything you could do. You got put into an impossible situation booking this interview, and then all of a sudden the rugs pull out from under you. You find out she's being paid to show up. It's unfortunate for this program, but I am glad you did the best that you could, and that's why the three of us are on here to try to bolster that editorial independence.
Why?
And that just opened the floodgates. Rachel Maddow, MSNBC's biggest star, confirmed to viewers Monday that McDaniel will not be on MSNBC. She said the fact that Ms. McDaniel was on the payroll at NBC News, to me that is inexplicable. Other MSNBC hosts, including Joe Scarborough, Nicole Wallace, Joey Reid, Jen Psaki, who had room to talk. Jen Psaki took the same path. She left a Democrat administration to become a host over there. Lawrence O'Donnell, all of these joined the chorus of in-house critics with on-air lashings of their employer. And the employer allowed it to happen. The employer actually apologized. Talk about the inmates running the asylum. Again, full disclosure here. I'm not a big fan of Ronna McDaniel. Actually, never met the lady. And her leaving the RNC was a good thing. It was the right time. But it's got to make you suspect when these liberal hosts scream so loud, doesn't it? We're going to end it there for today's edition of Just the Truth. Appreciate you joining me in the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Studio to lose weight for the last time. visit myphdweightloss.com. If you haven't joined our mailing list, what are you waiting for? Visit my website, joeyhudson.com. Click on the Connect with Joey button so that you can receive our emails with the most up-to-date news. Also, find me on YouTube. Just search for Joey Hudson. Send a quick text if you can't find me. And let me ask you for a favor. Share this podcast with a friend or two or five or ten. Send it to your whole contact list. All you have to do when we finish up here in a minute is just press the share button and send it to your friends, your family, your church members. Let them join the conversation. Let them join this movement that we're building on Just the Truth. Appreciate you spending a few minutes of your time with me today. Keep those comments coming via the Furman Ford text line, 864-477-JOEY, and keep your emails coming as well, joey@joeyhudson.com. We're back again tomorrow. Hope you'll plan to join us. Until then, remember, God's got this. He's still in control.